This morning we devoted time to hearing some great God stories from folk in Ashwood. Some of us had been to Grapevine and had heard good stories. Others had been impacted by God in the last few weeks. Many of the stories were quite personal. You needed to be there, as they say. We've included an excited report from Amy, who recently returned from a global impact trip with Ground Level to Romania and speaks of going again. There's also a word of testimony from a young man who had his own story to tell. And finally, there are a couple of stories from me and my summing up. Testimony, our own story, is so important, not just to build us up, but to strengthen and encourage others. You will enjoy these stories, I'm sure.
Well, the part in Romania, I went to a bit called Cluj, which is in Transylvania. And there, we stayed there for about 3 days, where we worked with an orphanage for abused children, neglected children, and children that had been on the streets. And there we painted two of the boys' bedrooms, and then we visited Caleb House, which is the halfway house between from the orphanage and going into the business and going to university and things like that. So that was good. And we also visited a Roma camp, which is a gypsy camp or slums, and there we prayed for people, and that was good as well. And then for the next days, we went out of Cluj, and we went to, I don't know where we went, but it was an English camp, and we taught 14 to 27-year-olds how to speak English, which is good.
Very good. So you had a good time and a busy time. We'd like to tell us two or three highlights of what went on, because I guess Amy could talk for an hour or two or six maybe to tell you lots of it, which obviously we haven't really got time for. But could you tell us just two or three good stories that will just whet people's appetite that might get them to either want to go next year or to just come and talk to you and find out a bit more?
Well, when we're at the orphanage, when we painted their rooms, their faces were whoa! Because they'd never had their rooms painted before, and it was just amazing to see. Because all those children, they'd been through so much. Most of them were 4 or 5 year olds, and they'd been abused as young children. Their parents were in prison. They'd been on the streets begging for food, and it was just amazing to see how happy they were that we'd been there. And there was one girl particularly that I was speaking to. She couldn't speak any English, but we were swinging, and I'd go, 1, 2, 3, go, and she'd copy me, and then we got to 20, and she could speak 1 to 20 really easily, and I was like, what? But then I found out after that she had autism, and she'd pick it up really fast, and she said to one of the leaders, she said, your friends really love children, don't they? And it kind of impacted the whole team, and we're like, wow, because you wouldn't really get that communication, but she really thought we loved them all so much. That was a really good story. There was also one from the English camp where one girl had lost her father in January, and she was talking to us, and she hadn't let go anything from that time. She hadn't grieved much, and she hadn't been able to go visit his grave because she kept asking, has he gone to heaven or has he gone to hell? And she didn't know. So she asked us, and we were like, on the spot a bit. But, we spoke to her, and she let it all go. She kind of let out all the things that she'd been holding in, and she finally decided to go visit his grave, which was an amazing thing to do for her anyway. Yeah, that was one of the stories, but I've got loads more, but I'll leave it at that.
I think you can tell she was a little excited, can't you? what did God say to you while you were there, and what did you come back feeling?
Well, the main thing that I asked God to do when I was out there is to impact the people out there, but then also bring it back so I can impact everyone here about what I'd done. And, I kind of grew my faith so much. Sometimes you can get doubts about God even existing, but now I have no doubts whatsoever, and it's just amazing.
And next year?
I'm going back.
So you better keep praying for her. Thank you, Amy. That's brilliant.
With God for close to 5 years now, just kind of coming back into church and then back out again and getting really kind of frustrated with the whole thing. And I decided, like, after my grandma died, I should really kind of make an effort to try and get back on terms with God. I went to Tom's small group, and I'm pretty sure I was a bit of annoyance to him, asking like loads of questions and kind of arguing with everything that was said and kind of, no, that's not God, no, not at all. And I really, one of the things I really struggled with is that I wanted some physical proof of the being of God. You know, I kind of, like, my role at school is very much into science, so I need that physical proof of there being something there. And, you know, it annoyed Will, it annoyed James, it annoyed Tom, it especially annoyed Jane Sankey. And I was there, and I was struggling with the whole thing of loneliness and kind of God kind of being a million miles away and, you know, no idea where he would be and all this lot. And me and Tom were just up talking Saturday night, was it? Yeah, Saturday night, I think. Probably till about midnight, about kind of, you know, God not being there, and, you know, when you want him, you can never find him, and all this lot. And I thought nothing of it. I went to the morning meeting with Eric at the Big Top, and, you know, the service was really good. Tony Miller spoke, and it was absolutely fantastic. And there was enough proof in that about kind of testimonies, and he gave us about his dad who had been in this accident, and God had, like, pretty much constructed his face again. And that was enough proof for me. I thought, I can settle for that. And the worship was fantastic. And then all of a sudden, completely out of the blue, bear in mind I'd had this conversation about God, you know, not being there. And this woman walked up to me, no idea who she was, and she just gave me a note. And she even said, first time I've ever done this, I was really nervous, but I felt God saying this to you. And she put, you're under God's spotlight. You are his choice, don't doubt. He will strengthen your back, and you will work and walk in the mighty power of your God. He will never leave you or forsake you. He loves you truly, madly, deeply. And I had no idea Dad was praying that about kind of coming back. And it's just amazing that God's kind of done that. So,
right at the end of James, it says this. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. And there in front of me was this youngish fella. I would guess he was probably somewhere between 25 and 30. And an ordinary looking sort of chap, but looked as though he'd got a lot of life about him. And I just watched and saw this tear run down his face as he'd responded to give his life to Jesus. And there was something grabbed hold of me as I saw it that I thought, actually, I want to see that happen much more. And I really do believe it's on God's agenda for us to see it happen more and more. And we'll have to do something about it, I've no doubt. But it really struck me. And then there was another story. We've heard a few miracle stories. I was struck so easily leave ourselves out of that because we think we're not good enough, because we think a righteous man means somebody who's super good. It doesn't mean that at all. A righteous man or woman is someone who has been impacted by the love of God, has given their life to the Lord, and they are in Jesus Christ righteous. In other words, what I'm saying is it affects every single one of us. And that means that we are in a position to do this praying. And we've heard a few examples this morning, but there are going to be a lot more. And I just sense I see it rising up. One final story that some of you will have heard, because some of you would have heard it in the Big Top. But it was such a good story, I thought it was worth telling again. Because it's in a different, it's in a different manner from the usual. It was a story Andrew Owen told. He leads a big, well, a series of big churches up in Scotland in the main, though they've got churches across the world as well. And he was saying one day he and his family arrived back home to find that their home had been completely ransacked and that anything they'd got of any worth had been taken, but the whole place was in a mess. They called the police. The police looked at it, went over it all. And this, I think he said it was the fourth time it had happened to them. And then the police looked over it, they did some forensic tests, and they said, well, we're very sorry, but there's your number. You can use that to claim on your insurance, but don't expect to get any of this back. This is the fourth one in your road today. And that night he sat down, he and his wife, and they said to God, this isn't right, Lord. Why is this happening to us? This shouldn't be happening. And they just put it before God and left it. Next day he's in his office and he felt God say, I want you to go for a walk. So he said to his secretary, I'm just going for a walk. She said, don't be long, you've got some appointments. He went out and walked across Glasgow city centre And he hadn't a clue where he was going or why. He went through all sorts of things in his mind. Was he to meet somebody? And eventually he felt God send him into a particular shop. Well, it was almost like a warehouse, a furniture and antiques warehouse. And he went in there thinking, have I got a word for this man? And he goes towards him and he thinks, I haven't. So he just stayed in there and started looking at some things. And as he's looking in a cabinet, he sees his watch. He knows it's his watch. It was a pocket watch. It had belonged to his grandfather. His grandfather had given him it. And in fact, as he looked further, not only was his watch there, but his wife's jewellery was there as well, all in this cabinet. And the guy who owned the shop comes towards him, sees him looking at the watch, and he said, are you interested in that watch? Would you like to buy it? He said, I am interested in that watch. He said, but I haven't got the money for it right now, but if you wouldn't mind keeping it for me, I'll go and get some money and I'll come back. So I went down the road to the police station and said, my name's Andrew Owen. I'm a Christian. We had a burglary last week. I asked God about it. God told me to go into this shop and I found me things. Yeah, I imagined the reaction as well. Well, when the desk sergeant had recovered, they contacted the CID people who had originally talked to him, because it was their case, and they came across and met him and went back with him to the warehouse. And I don't know all the reasons why, but he had to go in the warehouse and buy this watch. So he bought the watch, looks at it, the guy wraps it up. It's got his granddad's name on the back, for goodness sake. He picks it up, he looks at it, he wraps it up, and the man says, there you are. And he said, do you like that watch, don't you? He said, yes. He said, I really do. I said, it's mine and you're nicked. And the guy protested, and he said, no, I'm straight. I've bought this. Look, he said, I keep a register of everything I buy. Every time I get anything, it's here, it's listed, there's a date, there's an address of who sold it to me, name and address and everything. So he turned it up, and there, sure enough, is this list of stuff he's bought on this day. And the CID man says, well, no self-respecting thief's going to give the right name and address, is he? But just in case, we'll go there. And a few minutes later, he gets a call. The police go to this address. They find all the rest of his stuff, the rest of the stuff from the people down his road, and 40 other jobs as well. That's an interesting word of knowledge story, isn't it? This guy had quite a few incredible stories to tell. The other one, the reason why I read the James article, he was telling a story of a Ghanaian couple who had a baby born. The Ghanaian, the guy, was a doctor. So when this baby was born, the baby was born blind. And the doctor understood it immediately. It had some congenital cataracts right across its eyes. Couldn't see at all. Now, the doctor knew that if there was an early intervention, there was just the possibility of some sight to follow. Not a lot, but some sight. So they arranged for such an operation. And it was all sorted, the child was prepared for the operation, and they come to the operation, and the surgeon, about to operate, looks at this little baby and says, oh my God. Because he could see straight into the baby's eyes. Because everything had gone. There were no cataracts whatever. These eyes were perfect, and he hadn't done a thing. And Andrew Owen said, I wish I'd prayed for that baby. But he said, do you know, he said, what actually happened was the small group that couple were in, they'd prayed for that baby. And one new Christian couple in that small group had got so concerned for it, they had prayed and prayed and prayed and cried out to God. It was their prayer that was answered. And I think it's so important for us to catch hold of these things. Because without consciously thinking it, we sometimes imagine that there are only a handful of people who have the faith to pray and see those things happen. And this wasn't a case of somebody laying hands on the baby necessarily, as far as I know. It was somebody at a distance simply going on praying and crying out to God and saying, we know you can do it, will you do it? And that's why I have the confidence for us to be praying for Lee, whether you know him or not. Because it isn't just, you know, it isn't just that I get the opportunity. Yes, I've prayed for him on a number of occasions. His wife really feels he's too ill at the moment to receive anybody. But we can all, because the prayer of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective. And that's for every single one of us to pray. And when you hear stories like that, and we've heard some great stories this morning, that your stories as well, and I've got some more on those pieces of paper. But you see, our stories are so significant, aren't they? They're so powerful and effective. I would encourage you to borrow the CDs. We've got the CDs of the main event from Grapevine now. We shall have the CDs of the glory meetings before very long. I would encourage you to listen to some of those. That Andrew Owen one, I've only told you two of the stories. There are a whole load more incredible stories being told. And they weren't just his own stories. There were stories like that where new Christians had prayed and a baby could see. And actually, are they coming back? Oh, because there's one story that Joel wrote down that sounds as though in Power Pack, some kid who needed glasses before Grapevine but didn't need glasses at the end of it,